The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke writes,
"And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is now called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it.' So those were sent, went away and found it, just as he told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitudes of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is he, the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.' This is the gospel of our Lord." Dear saints, the coming of Jesus Christ riding in on a donkey to Jerusalem, which we celebrate this day, is a beautiful moment of glory, praise, and thanksgiving. At last, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, has finally come. God himself has come to his people, and all the Jews of Jerusalem should have all welcomed their king with open arms. But the response to Jesus is sadly quite mixed. Jesus' disciples and other members of the large crowd celebrate him, but the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, well, they stand there scowling and frowning at their king. They wish to truly spoil this triumphant party. But it is not as if this would have been a surprise to them. This had been prophesied. They knew Jesus was coming. Jesus, as he approached Bethany, did all the appropriate cultural practices of a true king or visiting member of a state, created originally by the Persian king Cyrus. Visiting kings and officials in the Middle East engaged in a practice called angaria, which everyone understood. You sent a representative ahead of the visit to borrow a donkey or a horse from someone for official state business, and there was often very few questions asked. So when the disciples obey Jesus and get the colt, they utter words to the owner: "The Lord," or "Master," "needs it." And that signaled that somebody important was coming. And so the borrowing of the colt was culturally allowed. Furthermore, as Jesus, the King of the Kings, comes closer and closer to Jerusalem, people lay down their coats, their palms, and branches on the ground, creating a passageway for Jesus to ride through. It's an exciting time when Jesus finally comes close and the disciples are shouting out and praising God. But then suddenly, a disapproving voice rings out: "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus is very quick to answer: "If they remain silent, even the stones will cry out." This is the turning point in the journey, the triumph, the happiness, while it turns to sadness. The Pharisees, blind to who Jesus really is, are shamed by simple stones. Even inanimate objects of creation know more about the Messiah than the Pharisees do. This is a true case of the religious people, the Pharisees, missing the moment. Now, some words here in our scriptures, they begin to get quite highly descriptive in the original languages, in the texts. And in the Greek, the stones are said to shriek out. Well, it's hard to know whether the stones are crying out in praise, or are they crying out in protest because of the disapproval of the Pharisees? But now, it is Jesus' turn to cry out. As he gets close to Jerusalem's walls in verse 41, Jesus doesn't just shed a few tears. No, he cries a loud lament. His heart burnt with pain and anguish. In his pain, he says, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now, it is hidden from your eyes. These days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within the walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Dear saints, this is a striking prophecy from God himself of the fall of Jerusalem in the year of 70 AD. You see, the Romans did indeed build that embankment and surrounded it. They starved it to death, causing terrible suffering, and then, once inside, killed thousands. But those stones of the temple were also all truly overturned, just as Jesus said. Jewish historian Josephus records that as the temple stone walls were lined inside with pure gold, once it was all set on fire, the fire melted the gold and it ran into the crevices of the stones. The Romans then got large crowbars and pickaxes and overturned every stone so that they could search for the melted gold. This indeed was a tragic case of Jerusalem missing the moment. They had rejected and crucified their own king, and that rejection created a chain of rebellious events that would lead to the Romans destroying the temple. Jesus came to bring them peace, but their stones were overturned simply because they did not recognize God's coming to them. Friends, today we celebrate the coming of our King, our Savior, and he regularly comes to us in our lives and in so many different ways. He comes to us by hearing the scriptures, his gospel, in his word, in our Bible. He comes to us through his sacraments, and he comes to us through people, through events, and also through little things, little moments as well. Although we do experience the coming of Jesus into our lives, we also can miss him too, miss the moments. Sometimes we are too caught up in our own anxieties, our habits, and our distractions. We can be so caught up with our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter feeds that we might occasionally ignore the little things, the little child who draws a picture of Jesus or sings a song about the Lord and just wants to show us or tell us about it. And that may be another way that our God the Holy Spirit is coming to us. Yet we might be too busy or distracted to even notice. But even though we can be like the Pharisees sometimes, missing these moments where we are blind to God's coming, we can be thankful that God is gracious and keeps on coming to us. He finds other passages and gates into our little Jerusalems, and he lives to help us and bless us, triumphantly entering our lives full of mercy and such grace. As Christians, we have the Spirit of God inside us. The Spirit not only forgives our missed moments, but also helps us to see the beautiful moments that Jesus comes to us in our lives. He comes to us in people like friends and family that he puts around us, as well as those small joys and innocent moments of being with young children. He reminds us of the words Jesus speaks to us as he comes to us through his word. And he points us to fix our gaze on Jesus Christ, our King, who has come to us, who continues to come to us through his word and sacraments, and the King who will come again. Dear saints, during this Holy Week and the weeks ahead, may we all see and experience more of God's coming to us, and to live in that moment and to not miss it, and rejoice in the wonderful truth that we are his people, whom he loves so dearly. And may this give you peace, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. May it guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.